Rehab or prison? On this episode of Charisma News, hear how Ken Pounders made the most of the opportunity that a judge gave him, and how God used that place to call him to a life bigger than he could imagine. That powerful interview right after this short message.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. During these times, your support has meant everything to us. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. For example, you can get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99 a set. That's a savings of 60% and the lowest price in history. And remember, they're made with the world's best cotton, grown where the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet. They come with my 10-year warranty, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
We want to thank MyPillow for sponsoring the Charisma Podcast Network. Go to MyPillow.com to receive the Giza Dream Sheets for 60% off. You will receive a set for as low as $39.99. Also, for a limited time with any purchase, you will receive Mike's softcover book absolutely free when you use the promo code CHARISMA. Once again, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code CHARISMA or call 800-598-1793 for this amazing offer. I'm John Matarazzo for Charisma News, and with me today is a missionary evangelist, founder of Priority Evangelism, and director of Outreach Ministries of Alabama in Valdemosa Springs, Alabama. No, I don't have multiple people with me. My guest today is one busy guy. He also is the host of the Conquer Addiction podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. Ken Pounders, welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. We are glad to have you with us.
It's great to be here, my friend.
So, Ken, let's just start off and talk about your podcast a little bit. I mean, that's one of the first things that people might know you from by hearing your voice. But tell me about your Conquer Addiction podcast and how that got started.
Well, John, we wanted to do something. Actually, you know, it was in the midst of the pandemic. And so we were kind of rethinking how we do everything. Mm-hmm. And I, of course, because of the pandemic, I was doing increasing amounts of training with people around the world via Zoom and that kind of thing. So we had actually been thinking about a podcast for years, but it kind of gave us the motivation to go ahead and pull the trigger, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And some dear friends of mine were already with CPN and kind of pointed me that direction, or actually, I think kind of pointed y'all towards me, but somehow that connection was made.
And we're glad
so
for that. Yeah.
With your help, I got it rolling.
Amen. That's good. Well, I want to talk more about the podcast a little bit later and kind of the focus and the objective of that. But I think in order to set up that whole meaning and for that to be more of a focus for us, we need to hear your story. I made mention that you had either the choice of rehab or prison in the introduction for this episode. So I want to hear that story.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll try to, you know, make it in brief. I grew up in a good home here in North Alabama, actually in the Huntsville area. And I don't know how familiar you are with Huntsville, but it's exploding, but kind of has been for a long time. It's just really accelerating now, but it's, you know, it's completely different than the most of the rest of Alabama. People from all over the world in Huntsville, you know, because of missile defense and NASA mm-hmm. and all the different things that are there. It's just a drawing card for people from everywhere. And so I grew up in an affluent home there in Huntsville, Alabama, and was drugged to church three times a week. My parents were good Southern Baptists. And so, you know, I knew the things of God. And even when I was 11 years old, I even went forward in a crusade mm-hmm. and made a move towards the Lord. But I seriously questioned whether I really even understood what I was doing, because it wasn't very long after that all hell started breaking loose in my life. I was rebelling against everybody. When I was 12 years old, started dabbling around with alcohol initially. A lot of my buddies, their parents drank. So we would just skim a little bit off the top all week. And then on the weekends, we'd go party. Then very soon after that, one of my buddies had some marijuana and I jumped right in with that. And I don't know why, but it was like I had just a real, I had no fear of any of that. And there was a real propensity in me just to go down that road. You know, usually when you hear a guy like me, you hear the story, the home life was terrible and
right.
the dad was non-existent or abusive. I had none of those things. I had a dad that loved me dearly, a mom that that would have done anything for me. But I began to go down a different path. And actually, that whole lifestyle really began to accelerate for me. When I was 13, I pretty much was using all kinds of drugs. By the time I was 14, I was selling drugs to my friends. And then, you know, of course, once you start selling drugs, you're in with a whole different crowd.
Right.
And
right.
so everything started being available. And by the time I was 15 years old, I knew I had a problem. I mean, it was like I got high literally all day, every day. And even I usually even kept a joint of marijuana on my nightstand so that if I woke up during the night, I would hit that before I went back to sleep.
Wow.
When I was 16 years old, I took a turn that was going to radically ruin my life. I started mainlining, initially cocaine, and then eventually, you know, opioids, anything I could get my hands on and put in a needle. I started shooting in my veins. And so the next 4 years of my life just went completely out of control. And of course, more and more trouble with the law, wrecking cars, fights, just everything that goes with that crazy lifestyle. And so to sum it up, I was arrested between the time I was 18 and 20. I was arrested on 12 different drug charges or drug-related charges, like driving under the influence or whatever. And so it started piling up. And I had several little stints where I was sitting in jail. But finally, it came to the place where my attorney told me, your judge is going to send you to prison. And it was just amazing. It was really miraculous the way God just began to open the door for me into a ministry called Outreach Ministries of Alabama. And the judge agreeing to it was a miracle, because literally everybody had told me, you got the worst judge possible. She will throw the book at you. But I'll never forget standing before her. It's probably January 26th of 1982, because I went in the program the next day. I stood before Judge Blankenship, and she said, I'm going to give you an opportunity. She said, I'm sentencing you to 5 years in the Alabama State Penitentiary, but I'm going to suspend your sentence, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to go into Outreach Ministries of Alabama. If you do well there, we will completely revisit all of these charges 1 year from now. And so I guess, as they say, the rest is history. Night one at Outreach Ministries, I made a full surrender of my life to Christ, or at least as best I knew how to. I cried out and said, Lord, if you can do anything with what's left of my life, you can have me from this day forward. And I meant it. First time in my life I had prayed and really meant it. And and then for the next year, I had a group of men around me that basically poured their life into me 24/7, taught me how to live out my faith. And a year later, I stood back before that judge and she wiped my slate clean, so to speak. Well, I mean, actually, I think she ended up reducing everything to misdemeanors. And so I walked away free. And just began a life of running after Jesus and pursuing the Lord.
That's amazing. So she literally did throw the book at you, just changed which book she was throwing at you. She threw the Bible at you through the Outreach Ministries of Alabama. And that's an amazing opportunity that God showed his grace to you in your life. Because, you know, 5 years in prison could have really changed the trajectory of your life in a negative way,
goodness.
Big time.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the thing that's interesting right now is in the introduction of you, you're the director of that ministry now. How did that happen? And tell me the story of this ministry. Like, it was around before you. Tell me that whole story.
Okay. So Outreach Ministries of Alabama, it's It's a 12-month residential discipleship program for men, really men and women. Mm-hmm. We're in the process of reopening our women's home right now. But it's for men and women coming out of addiction. Actually, it was launched 53 years ago by a man named Jim Summers. Jim Summers eventually became my father-in-law. Jim was actually heading up a company called Donnelly Brothers in Cleveland, Tennessee. He was from Birmingham, Alabama, and was doing great. I mean, he had a young family. They were making good money. The future was bright. Everything seemed great for him, but he had a foreboding over his life, is the way he put it to me, that he felt like he was going to die, and he knew he wasn't ready to die, and he didn't even know how to get ready to die. And so he began just to call out to God and ended up pulling over on the side of the road one day and said, God, if you're up there, whether I live or whether I die, I'll serve you. And had no clue what he'd done because he grew up in a completely secular home. Hmm. And so he went to a little Southern Baptist church and told the pastor what he had done. The pastor led him to the Lord, led my mother-in-law to the Lord, and they began to pursue God. And when he had been in that little Southern Baptist church for not quite 2 years, he heard God speak to him and say, quit your job, move to Huntsville, Alabama, walk the streets, and reach out to troubled young people. And the amazing thing is, he did it. I mean, I think how many people would quit their good job and move their young family with nothing? He had nothing. And so they began, he moved to Huntsville, began to walk the streets. Ended up making a trip up to New York City. It was when Dave Wilkerson was first starting Teen Challenge up there.
Oh, wow.
And he spent time walking the streets with Brother Dave and came back to Huntsville and launched a similar ministry here. And then it just began to grow. It started out in a little garage, and then they got a house, and then another house, and then eventually a farm. And God just grew it over the years. And looking back now, many fairly significant victories that have been won. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but Steve Hill, the evangelist at the Browns Revival in Pensacola, he actually came, he was discipled through this ministry.
Wow.
There's actually a brother up in Bangor, Maine, pastors Calvary Chapel Bangor, big church up there. They have a similar program to ours. Ken Graves is a graduate of this ministry. When people ask me about revival, do you know any churches that are truly in revival? The first one I tell them is there's a church in Scottsboro, Alabama called the Well Family Worship Center. The pastor there is a man named Greg DeVries. He's a graduate of this program. And so it's been amazing over the years what God has done through that step of faith that Jim Summers took just to obey God and go walk the streets.
Wow. Wow. So, okay. So this was your father-in-law.
He became my father-in-law. Yes.
Yes. So I want to get to that. How did he become your father-in-law? Because I think I might have a difficult time letting my daughter date somebody that's going through this program.
It's funny you say that because actually for years he would tell people, you want to know how much I believe in what we do? Mm-hmm. I let my daughter marry one of our graduates.
Yeah.
And but yeah, it, basically I went through the entire program and then I was actually in a little waiting period. I was going off to Bible college in Springfield, Missouri, back when Central Bible College was there with the Assemblies of God. And so I had several months interim between when I finished the program and when I would be going up there to Bible college. So I just started, I got a job in the Huntsville area. And, you know, literally, John, I didn't know anybody that wasn't on drugs.
Wow.
And so the only people I knew to hang out with was the people out at Outreach Ministries. So I just started spending all my free time at the office of the ministry and hanging out with everybody. Well, the girl that was running the office was the director's daughter, Sonia Summers at the time. And I would literally, and this is the truth, I wasn't going there to see her. I would go to see her dad Mm-hmm. And she would say, well, Jim's not in right now. He should be back within 30 minutes or so. And I'd spend about 2 hours sitting there talking to her before he finally came back. And that happened repeatedly until finally I knew that I really was interested in this girl. Mm-hmm. She was great. And so I eventually asked her to go out with me, and we got the clearance from her dad to date. And then eventually got the clearance to actually ask for her hand in marriage. And in fact, I rode around in the truck that day with my father-in-law, and I was scared to death, and I couldn't get the words to come into my mouth. Can I marry your daughter? And so finally he looked at me and he said, boy, I know you want to marry my daughter, but let me tell you how that's going to be. And so he just kind of laid it out there for me. And but I ended up marrying her. She went off to Bible college with me. And then we spent the bulk of our adult life in world missions. Mm. And so, you know, we eventually launched Priority Evangelism, which is a missionary evangelism organization to facilitate people that are doing missionary evangelism. Yeah. And so we really got involved in the former Soviet countries and then eventually into Asia as well. And then we do a lot in Central America, and we're still plugged in with those things as well. But we always knew, we always stayed very connected and very close to outreach ministries. And I mean, it's literally like I married outreach ministries.
Yeah, I guess you
and
did.
So, you know, we knew that whenever my father-in-law was ready to lay it down, that we would take the reins. So that actually started happening about 10 years ago. And then we fully took over a little over 5 years ago now.
Wow. So that is an amazing testimony of just as you said, your father-in-law said, if you want to know how much I believe in what we're doing here, I let one of the graduates marry my daughter. I mean, that says a lot about the quality of ministry that you guys have there. What other testimonies can you share from those?
Well, I tell you, brother, I just, you know, 3 years ago, we did our 50th anniversary. Hmm. And one of the really awesome things that I got to do is that I kind of did a roundup of graduates over the years and got in touch with them and taught them, of course, invited them to the 50th anniversary. But it was amazing that literally I talked with people from every decade. Hmm. So people that came through here almost 50 years ago, and then right up to recent graduates of our ministry. And so many people that are out there still living for Jesus, still, you know, the Lord transformed their life and they're still out there doing it. And so, you know, of course, I mean, I don't want to paint a too rosy of a picture because we have our failures too. There's sure. guys that go out and go right back to what they used to be. But our percentage rate, as far as guys that finish our program and do well, is high, very mm-hmm. high by industry standards. In fact, the last time we ran the numbers, it was about, I think, over 60% of our guys that were going out and living successfully and are still doing it years later.
Praise
Let me tell you one story.
Yeah, please.
We had a guy that came to this ministry years ago. He's actually probably 45 years ago. He came through outreach and finished the program. He was a heroin addict from Detroit, Michigan. Mike Gordon came here. He went through our program, finished the program, and then went out and just began to live for the Lord. Eventually, he married, had children, and then his sons started struggling with addiction. And one of his sons, Ryan Gordon, came through this ministry and got his life together. And then Ryan Gordon plugged in at the church I mentioned earlier, the Well Family Worship Center in Scottsboro, Alabama, mm-hmm. Where Greg DeVries is the pastor, and he's a graduate of this ministry. And so Ryan met Greg's daughter, Abby, and they married. And so, I mean, it's like amazing. When I go over there to that church in Scottsboro, it's like literally a family reunion of Outreach Ministries of Alabama because of all the people that have come to the Lord through this ministry and are still out there making a difference. So yeah, it's amazing. We've got a young guy right now named Skylar Linderman. He's actually going to be leaving us, and I'm grieving over that, but I'm rejoicing simultaneously. Him and his wife are moving to Morgantown, West Virginia to launch a church there near the WVU campus up there.
Yeah.
Skyler came to us about 6 years ago. When he showed up here, he literally had pus running out of open abscesses in both arms from shooting dope.
Oh my gosh.
His life was a disaster. And he ended up coming to the Lord, began to grow in his relationship with Christ. Actually, he and I had a head-to-head confrontation after he'd been with us about 4 months, because I saw him doing the outward stuff. You know, he could go to chapel, lift his hands, praise the Lord. But then I also saw an underlying mentality that was still very much a drug addict way of thinking. And so I actually pulled him in and rebuked him and told him, I said, bro, don't kid yourself. You can learn all the external Christian stuff, but if your heart doesn't change and you don't really begin to apply God's word to your way of thinking and to your lifestyle, you'll be right back in the same old boat. And he said he came out of that encounter that day and he said, I'm not going back, and began to really lay hold of the word of God. And today he's one of the finest young men I know, great preacher of the gospel, actually went up to Michael Brown School up in Concord, North Carolina, and graduated from that ministry, and then came back here and is serving on staff with us here. Just an amazing testimony of the grace of God.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, that's amazing that, you know, for the 50th anniversary, you were able to find people back from 50 years ago that are still living for the Lord and still on fire for Him, and their lives have really been changed. What is the difference that, or what is the thing that stands out that makes Outreach Ministries of Alabama different than, say, Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous or any other rehab program?
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you this, that the difference between those and Outreach, they're dramatically different. And there's some things that Alcoholic Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous do that, there's some things that I think are pretty good. I think a place that they miss it is this idea that you can select a God of your choosing. That's not only not biblical, it's actually, it's false. Mm-hmm. You can't choose a God of your choosing. There's only one true God. And, you know, you don't need the concept of God to get victory. You actually need God to get victory. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
You need a real relationship with Christ. You need the power of God. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. And so there's the real difference. And, you know, there was a study done back in the 80s of this type of ministry. And probably the biggest faith-based ministry is probably Teen Challenge. Mm-hmm. I think it's now called Adult and Teen Challenge. So back in the 80s, a study was done, and it wasn't by a Christian organization. It was actually by a secular university. They ended up writing a book called The Jesus Factor. Mm-hmm. And basically, they were saying this is the difference, is that when you bring Christ into the equation, it changes everything. Now, I would say this about what we do, John, is that we take that even to another level. And here's the thing. I only take a handful of guys at a time. In fact, I try not to have over 12 students at a time, because we actually are one-on-one discipling them, or at least one-on-two.
Sure.
Discipling them. And so I actually don't, I mean, you can get all the drug addicts you want. If I wanted to have 100 guys, we could, but the vast majority of them are not serious. They don't want to change. They don't want to do drugs anymore because it's creating a disaster in their life, but they don't want to do what it takes to actually change. So I'm looking, when I interview guys, I'm looking for a guy to convince me that he's willing to do what it takes to adopt a whole new way of life. And of course, you and I know that whole new way of life is in Christ. It's the kingdom of God. It's learning how to surrender to Him and then walk out your faith on a day-to-day basis. And so there's no doubt in my mind, that's what contributes to our high success rate, is that I'm only taking guys that can convince me that they really want to lay hold of Christ. And so that, kind of gives a little advantage there.
That does give a huge advantage there, I would say. Yeah. So you have this podcast, Conquer Addiction, which I love, you know, just the name of it. You know, people that listen to it are going to be attracted to it because they want to conquer addiction in their lives. As a podcaster, how are you communicating some of these things that people might think it would work better in a one-on-one situation or a small group situation? How are you finding that through your podcast that people's lives are being changed?
Well, you know, originally when I wanted to do a podcast, I wanted to do one on evangelism, equipping people to reach their friends and loved ones with the gospel. But very quickly, I felt like the Lord was telling me, no, I've called you. I've called you to target the addicted community. And so, you know, our whole focus, our purpose is to provide really primarily encouragement, but also tools to help people that are struggling with addiction or to help people who know someone or love someone that's struggling with addiction.
That's good.
And I think you probably realize what the two categories I just named, either addicted or you got a loved one who is, that's pretty much everybody out there.
Right, right.
Almost nobody can say, oh, I've not been touched by addiction at all. And so we kind of mix it up on the podcast. Mm-hmm. About half the time I try to do interviews with men and women that have been through this program or similar programs, and they're out there living victoriously and making a difference. So that's really the encouragement aspect that if you'll lay hold of Christ, truly, he can change your life. And I'd say truly, because I get a ton of people that say, oh, I tried Jesus, but it didn't work for me. Well, we don't try Jesus. We surrender to Jesus. And that's when the grace of God takes effect in our lives. So there's that. But then also we try to do practical things like here's steps of action you can take. Here's encouragement, because the fact of the matter is that it's no different me helping a guy coming out of addiction than me helping a guy coming out of any other life-controlling problem or any other sin. Mm-hmm. And I know our society doesn't like the word sin, but, you know, sin is merely missing the mark. And so all of us are missing the mark. And so really on the podcast, if you want to boil it all the way down, the podcast is really about victory in Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's how to apply the Word of God to your life in such a way that you're going to have victory. And it works. And we get actually, I don't get as much feedback as I would like to. I think there's something about the podcast format that makes it a little difficult for people to actually connect, but we do get feedback.
That's good.
We get people online or by email or whatever that are saying, hey, we look forward every week to this and we're sharing it with our friends because it's made a difference in our life. So, you know, I think anytime you can point somebody to Christ and encourage them to truly lay hold of him and apply the word to their life, that's going to yield fruit.
Amen. Amen. And so if you're listening to this right now and you're being touched by some of the things that Ken is saying and you're feeling the need to connect with them, whether you're dealing with addiction in your own life, I definitely want to recommend checking out the podcast Conquer Addiction on the Charisma Podcast Network. You can go to cpnshows.com to find that. But Ken's also got his website, the Outreach Ministries of Alabama. So it's omainc.org. That's omainc.org. And also priorityev.info for the evangelism, for the Priority Evangelism Ministry. Is there anything that I'm missing there, Ken, that people can connect with you?
No, that's good. And actually those websites, because really ministry is, you know, kind of two sides of the same coin to us. I mean, you know, technically those are two separate ministries, but it's really just two manifestations of what we do on a day-to-day basis. So those are connected. If you go to priorityev.info or you go to omainc.org, either one of those are going to connect you to where you can find solutions, you know, to overcome. And so, yeah, that's the best way for them to try to reach us.
Good, good. So if, you know, if this is something that you really want to do, connect with Ken But right now I'm going to ask Ken to just pray for everybody that's listening and just pray for freedom, pray for that they would truly be able to conquer addiction, any addiction that, we're dealing with in our lives.
Amen. Father, I just want to thank you so much because I know that you superintend these broadcasts, and there's people listening to this podcast right now, maybe don't even know why they did, but they tuned in today. And Lord, I just pray grace and power over their lives, God. Those that are struggling with addiction, those that have loved ones who are, God, in either case, there's a desperation inside of them to find real answers. And Lord, I know that you are a real Savior, and that when we really surrender to you and really allow your word to take root in our life, it's life-changing. And so, God, I pray your grace and power over the listeners today. God, I pray that they would lay hold of you and that you would bring transformation into their lives. And I ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. The Bible says that they overcame the devil, the evil one, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And Ken, I want to thank you so much for sharing your testimony of how the good news of the gospel has changed your life. So thank you so much for being on the Charisma News Podcast.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you a lot.
This has been John Matarazzo for the Charisma News Podcast. God bless you.